The sun, the calendar, and the weather report are all bringing the same news. We are sitting almost exactly on summer solstice once again. The word solstice derives from Latin, where sol indicates sun and stis means to stand still. The arc of the sun in relation to the earth does not actually stand still at solstice, but rather slows until the sun seems to hang eerily in the same place in the sky. Solstice occurs exactly when the earth's axial tilt is most inclined toward the sun. Or, stated a bit differently, when the North Pole is tipped toward the sun at a maximum of 23.26 degrees. In those areas north of the Tropic of Cancer, this occurs in June. South of the Tropic of Cancer, it happens in December and refers to the inclination of the South Pole. And perhaps to our dismay, while this day brings the longest light and the briefest dark, it is rarely the peak of summer heat, for the oceans and atmosphere store the accompanying heat from solstice, then release and reflect it back for weeks thereafter. Most farming cultures recognize this yearly arcing as a time of fertility and regard it as a major turning point in the growing season. Solstice also occasions cause for great celebration in the form of holidays and festivals. One such festival is the ritual at Stonehenge, where crowds gather each June in the center of the standing stones to extend their hands skyward in welcome to the sun, marveling at the ancient wisdom that foresaw the sun rising directly over the heel stone. Alas, we here in Metro Louisville can seem rather far removed from such rich markings of the Earth's cycles. But we are still children of the universe. We grew out of it, and we belong to it. Here in the silence, we can yet recollect and explore our place in the natural order. Here today, we can open hearts and minds to this time of fertile change and peak light. Why bother? What is the significance? What is the urgency in reclaiming our earthly membership? It is this. Our cherished way of life comes from our stance as presumed masters of the universe. This tragic posture arises from hubris and underlies the plight of our species, all species, and the very planet on which we depend. We have evolved as magnificent beings with capabilities far beyond what our ancestors would have imagined. What is now required is a reorientation to our true nature, a wake-up call to the beauty, the purpose of our humanness, that of recognizing and affirming the beloved in all of life. Joanna Macy's words. The most remarkable feature of this historical moment on Earth is not that we are on the way to destroying the world. We've actually been on the way for quite a while. It is that we are beginning to wake up, as from a millennia-long sleep, to a whole new relationship to our world, to ourselves, and to each other. Sea changes are taking place, such as the magnetic field of the Earth, the reality of global climate change and the prospect of intense warming or the precipitous advent of another ice age. Ancient Hindu writings indicate we have just passed the end of that most brutal era, the Kali Yuga, a passing that coincided with the end of the Mayan calendar in 2012. The Vedic scriptures prophesy turning toward a golden age. Native American traditions are replete with prophecies for our time. These signs and predictions, from ancient traditions as well as from modern science, seem to point to radical changes occurring in this world. No wonder fear leads so many into hopes for the rapture. Many believe that the earth will see to her healing the fate of humans seems less certain. Wendell Berry confirms this. Whether we and our politicians know it or not, nature is party to all our deals and decisions, and she has more votes, a longer memory, and a sterner sense of justice than we do. How do we respond in the face of such challenge, such monumental uncertainty? I don't know what the future holds, and neither, I suspect, do you. But of one thing I'm sure, that we are called to a radically different, deeper, wider understanding of who we are and what this life is about. There is a personal urgency which seems to come from changes aging brings to the physical body. Perhaps you experience something similar as well. But this matter of urgency is no longer just personal and individual, if indeed it ever was. We are deeply invested in one another's welfare. As Martin said, either we learn to live together like brothers and sisters, or we will die together like fools. Not just humans, I would add, but all sentient beings. A provocative and hopeful note comes from environmental philosopher Thomas Berry. He says, as we enter the 21st century, we are experiencing a moment of grace. Such moments are privileged moments. The great transformations of the universe occur at such times. So planetary awakening has begun. Even in the face of chaos and destruction, the process is unmistakable. Your part in that is absolutely critical, as is mine. There is no way to escape our place in the order of things, our complicity in the problem, and the urgency of our awakening. This from Jean Houston. We are the ones who have the most profound task in human history, the task of deciding whether we grow or die. It will involve a stride of soul that will challenge the very canons of our human condition. It will require that we become evolutionary partners with each other. So what does all this have to do with Vipassana meditation? Just this. Each mindful moment in your life, in mine, makes it easier for another being to awaken. This is the meaning of Sangha, supporting one another, comforting and challenging, weathering storms, fostering one another's awakening. The insight practice fosters, supports, deepens, and enriches the process. This simple watching of the breath, of the body, of the workings of the mind packs tremendous power. Practice for the benefit of all beings. Practice like your hair is on fire. This is from Rainer Maria Rilke. Again and again, some people in the crowd wake up. They have no ground in the crowd, and they emerge according to much broader laws. They carry strange customs with them and demand room for bold gestures. The future speaks ruthlessly through them. So here are some questions you might want to consider. First, How long will life as we know it continue? Kroger checkout, oil changes, movies, bank deposits, over and over and over. Next, is this what it's really all about? How exactly do I keep myself stuck in life as usual? How do my fears get in the way? What is the alternative? What am I waiting for? To practice, to awaken, to forgive, to die into life? And finally, am I sure that I have plenty of time? And suppose that life itself is completely trustworthy. Suppose we could let go of our defensive, controlling stance with absolute safety. Can we afford to do so? Can we afford not to? And what would life look like if we should surrender to the experience of true belonging in the universe? To everything there is a season. Now is the time of maximum energy and light, of ultimate expansion and blooming. Now is the time to which we are called. It's high time.